This is tape recording number 6404C21, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 21st of April, 1964. The title of this lecture is Problems and Solutions. This tape is 82 minutes long.
How you doing today?
Fine.
Good. This is the what?
The 21st of April.
21st of April. All right. Well, you're going to get a very complex, offbeat lecture here today. Very complex, very offbeat. Nothing simple today. Tired of talking to you about simplicities. You just never seem to latch on. Talk to you about a complexity here and see if we can't do so. As you may know, not contained in the body of Scientology, but standing aloof, there are a series of research maxims or data which I really never bothered to collect. You'll find some trace of them in, of all things, Dianetics Evolution of the Minute. You know, the rationale and the how of how you figure it out. There's a whole book that was devoted to this. It was Excalibur, is how you went about figuring it out. And every once in a while, one of these things cracks through, and you get a grip on the put-together of thing, which is extremely useful. These things vary. I'm not giving you a big mystery. These things vary all over the place. They go into this. One of the maxims I'll give you, pick a body of knowledge which has produced very bad effects and results. And if that's the case, then you move it out and don't pay any further attention to it. Take the one which is least productive of results and rule it out. And you can eventually... All right, now how do you get any place else? This is your problem as the auditor. Well, there are 7 levels up. And these levels are determined only by this. Only by this. An increased awareness of his beingness and his relationship to existence, and the problems and solutions of life. You just increase his awareness of this. What is a problem to this man? And if you simply ask that of each one of the 7 levels as you go up, you could draw those levels very nicely. What is a problem to this man? And when you raise him up the line, in some horror, you get up about 4 levels up. Oh, yes, he's calmer about everything now. But he can take a look at the problems he has got, man. He's better able to confront them so that he doesn't shudder with horror. But if you were to pull him out of 0 and put him at level 4 with 1 dull thud and say, now look at what the problems you really do have, brother, he is not going to be able to look at those problems at all. One, he has never climbed a single line of the stairs. Because you've never increased his awareness of his relationship to existence. Only by increasing the individual's awareness of his relationship to existence can you bring about any heightened condition of ability, performance, livingness, or anything else. Now, this seems to be argued with by the fact that some guy can fill himself up full of bromo-seltzer or heroin or something like that and perform very fantastic feats in some direction or other. And, you know, I think they're all fairy tales. I did a tremendous amount of research with drugs back in 49, 50, and so forth. And the only thing that ever happened, people went to sleep. I've never seen any of these marvelous experiments that I see written up with such glibidity. I never see the results of these experiments. I read all about them. Scientific experiments is something that can be duplicated in the laboratory, and apparently none of these experiments so advertised can be duplicated in the laboratory. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Yes, you hear about this fellow. He drinks a 0.5 gallon of rum and therefore can lift up a horse, you know? I've seen guys drink 0.5 gallon of rum. I've seen them think they can lift up a horse. I haven't seen any horses rising off the ground, man. Their coordination gets worse. There are some writers that think they can write better
when they have some drinks. Old Dash Hammett used to have a ring, one of these fancy service things that has a shot glass in six or seven holes, all in a little wheel, and all of the thing beautifully rigged up here, so all you had to do was turn it around, you could pick out the next shot glass, you know, these little salon presentation pieces of stuff. And he used to sit that down inside of his desk, and when he would finish a chapter, he'd pick up the next shot glass, you see, and down it, and go, so I heard all about it, and how well he did it. But I ran into some other writers that weren't so good this way, and one finally put the cap on the whole thing. He says, you know, he says, I can't write when I can't spell. That actually wipes out the whole theory of how much better I write when a guy thinks he writes better because he's less aware. If he's a little more aware, he'd realize that what he was writing stunk. I don't know if you've ever risen in the middle of the night and written some deathless prose or poetry. Let's say your sense of appreciation was heightened by half out. See, we hear about all these things, but in actual performance and so forth, we don't see these things get delivered. We don't see the half-drunk guy suddenly capable of magnificent feats of something or other. And we don't see this, we don't see that. But we see guys saying that they are this way. So there's a bit of a hole in some of the logic that is presented to us whereby we just became a little less conscious of everything, why we would be a lot better off. Well, actually, that rationale is a very current rationale because it's been extant beginning of this universe. And is probably the basic rationale that lies back of solutions to all problems, become unaware of them. And that is the final solution. Become totally unaware. There's one just before you become totally unaware, and that is what you're doing makes you right. Regardless how irrational what you're doing is, it's this last point of assumption that, well, you're doing right. Mm-hmm. Completely irrational action. Just below that, as the next solution down, is simply become unaware. As a gradient scale of solutions, if you want to know the truth of the matter. Now, where you got, then, an individual trying to improve himself and so forth, he has two routes open. One is to become more aware of existence so as to cope with it. Existence. Or become more aware and be jolly sure that you don't. So the dwindling solution, the solution which is going out the bottom and so forth, is full of hope, full of a lot of things, actually doesn't any place. And it is a very treacherous solution because it is simply hoping it will be all right. Well, I'll just forget about it and hope that it doesn't bother me. We see this type of philosophy. If you want to know why you are over-worried, remember what you were worried about yesterday and realize that you aren't worried about it today. And I'm very glad that all the things I have been worried about never happened. It's kind of philosophy. Well, it's very witty philosophy, but is it at all factual? How do we know that that fellow's worry and the actions he took in relation to that worry did not prevent the total catastrophe? See, we're not sure of that at all. So this other solution is a complete slipshod one, and is hardly any solution at all, which is just become less aware. As one is standing there and the lion is charging down on one, of course, it's always offered as a solution. Faint. In the 19th century, it's practically the only solution womankind had. She was not in a position, she was still in a state of chattelism. She was not in a position where she could fight back in any particular way. Her word wasn't really very good in court, that sort of thing. But she could still faint. She fainted like mad, and she fainted by degrees. She camelled also. So this is a solution of sorts, don't you see? If you can't confront it and you can't move away from it, why, you can become unaware of it. The Black Panther mechanism, I think we used to call this in Dianetics. Some such, ignore it. This is worse than the Black Panther mechanism. This is just, we've come unaware. Now, therefore, it becomes somewhat terrifying to people when you reverse the flow on them. And this is one of the reasons why it's difficult for you to do this. Although you can do this as an auditor very, very easily, it's still sometimes quite terrifying. And you'll have some people wondering whether or not they should run out their GPMs or something like this. Almost anybody will hit that one. You know you've got him running pretty good if about the third time you start to audit him, he becomes not quite sure that this is a good idea. You're asking him to reverse the flow of the universe, which is gradient awareness. This universe has simply been a progress of less and less awareness. It's the route to the total sleep. And the trick of the whole thing is, it's so rigged that you never get to sleep. The lower you go, the more problems you've got, because now the littler problems seem bigger. And nobody ever looks at this parallel route as they go down the route of unawareness. Actually, they're becoming unaware of the big problem brought them less power or force to reduce their confront, and so now they are less able to confront little problem at that level. So therefore, it seems as big now as the big problem seemed, and just one stage back. And it seems far more dangerous and threatening. And because it is, what's the condition of some individual who, because there's a slight wind blowing, goes into terror? What is this condition? Oh, there's a little bit of wind blowing. Not much. Just a little bit of wind. And this individual is in white, blanched terror. Well, now let's map exactly what happened to this fellow. There was some bigger problem on the same gradient that he ceased to confront. He became unaware of it, almost purposely. And this put him into a confront of a slight wind. See, he came down to where he could only confront this little breeze. But the big problem was full of terror. So the breeze is full of terror. And there's your trick when you uncover hidden memories. And this is the big invitation to go uncover hidden memories. Because you often can uncover a hidden memory and incidentally increase the individual's awareness slightly, you see, and uncover this memory by some kind of trickery, and the individual will lose this particular little fear. That he shifts over to another fear now and doesn't go any further than this is something they never really bothered to investigate. But I could take almost anybody who had a phobia. And most of you, too. Put them on a meter, the old smoothie. Put them on a meter and start figuring out, well, what are you afraid of? You know, oh, you're afraid of this. Oh, all right. And let's just find the bigger fear that made them prone to the lesser fear. This that I'm telling you then has direct application, actually wraps up psychoanalysis. Freud can go back quietly to sleep in his grave. This is what he was looking for. This mechanism I'm telling you right now is what he was looking for, the only mechanism he was really looking for. All little fears are irrational and are based on a bigger fear. That's what he considered, see? He said the little fear is irrational. So therefore, we've got to find the bigger fear that promotes the littler fear. And he went off into all kinds of symbolism and everything else. He got lost in the rat race. He got lost in the maze. He got through, but he nevertheless was on this thing. Now, why does that work? It works because the individual solved the bigger fear by becoming less aware. That's the solution to the bigger fear. And let me tell you, because I've practiced in the field of psychoanalysis, you can throw the individual back into the bigger fear and knock him
Jolly West. You can sit here with your meter, and you can smoke the whole thing out very carefully, not processing him. See, not getting any charge off, no TIAX or anything like that. Just sort it out on the meter. This fear you have of cheesecakes. Now, does this associate with your mother and father? Okay, cheesecakes and so forth. All right, be afraid of your father if your father ever eat cheesecake. Now, all of a sudden, the PC has got two directions to go. One, cognition. He blows some charges, and he feels better about it. That's almost totally an accident from the point of view. Because I'm talking to you out of experience. You can just as easily throw him over in to a complete gibbering terror. And the reason why, in psychoanalysis, 33 1/3% of their patients commit suicide is because they've put their foot into the wrong bin. They have accidentally pressured the individual's awareness up to a point of intolerance, and the individual explodes without increasing his ability at all to become aware. They suddenly confront him with the tiger. And he goes, boom! See, there's two things he can do. One is suddenly blow some charge at this point, becomes more aware, and says, oh, I'm afraid of cheesecakes merely because the old man hit my mother over the head with some when I was two. All right, fine. That's pretty good, yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, yeah. Feel much better. I don't have to be afraid of cheesecake. I'd be afraid of tie pins. See, that's one route. That's one thing that could happen to him. But remember, this other thing can happen to him, too. You're sitting him down and saying, father, and so forth. All of a sudden, a horrified look comes into his eye, and he begins to shake. What's the matter? I don't know. I'm really just terrified. You play hell trying to push him any further down that track now. He got some horrible idea. Oh, my mother is dead. And all of a sudden he starts screaming and howling and goes into complete dramatization, calls up in the ball, and he called the men in the white coats. I'm not saying you could do this accidentally because you don't process this way. I'm just giving you a little bit of warning about processing this way. Reaching into the deeper states of consciousness in order to discover the fears that motivate this individual. Bluey. That's from nowhere. There's no root. Because the dwindling spiral of consciousness has brought him to ignore his problems. See? And the bigger problems are less and less and less. Ah, let me give you a practical example, not boxing around with nothing here. Let me give you a very practical example. First time I binged out of me bean in recent times here and started looking around about 300 miles up and that sort of thing. I thought, hey, what do you know? You know, wait a minute. You know, these clouds now, everything's fine, you know, and all of a sudden a problem hit me about 8 miles high. See? I'd forgotten about that. This was one of the prices of freedom. Well, it was totally unintentional getting out of me Ed anyhow. And it was just a flip in that particular direction, and we were taking off some charge in another area. And I got hit in the face with a problem that I had buried beautifully. It had sod all over it. Now, I wasn't in any gradient up to being able to confront this problem, see? Oh, look, I'm free. Hooray, hooray, I'm free. Everything is fine. What the hell is that? Interesting. Another instance of this. I've forgotten that some time ago I'd had a fear of being drawn into the sun, a reverse light factor. See, I'd forgotten this. Completely unbraced, all of a sudden there's the sun. Here I come, you know. Beam, screech, you know, rubber burning. What's this, you know? No gradient. See, that was just me being unwontedly brave. Now, of course, one ordinarily retreats. Reason a person exteriorized, see, and then went back into the head and you couldn't get him out again with a can opener. I'm giving you what exactly this mechanism is, see?
without taking off the charge of why they were in their head. You took them out of their head, and they confronted the problems that they had long since dwindled down on unawareness. So they're no longer aware of these problems. They had those nicely handled. You all of a sudden bang him out of his head. He all of a sudden looks these problems square in the teeth. Like, you know, little things like, how do you keep yourself centered in a room? I don't know. I can't keep myself centered in the room. I keep going one side of the room. What's all this black stuff around here? I didn't know how all this black stuff around here. Bang! Back into his head. Or, gee, there's my body down there. My car's caught in a traffic jam. What am I going to do? Bang. I'm liable to suddenly lose my car and lose my body, too. To hell with this racket, you see. He'd forgotten that he had to retain a certain skill to run a body remotely. So back into his head he goes. Now you try to get him out of there again. Oh, no, you know better now. You know better. He's smart now. Come on, just one more time out of you. No, no. He even sometimes give you tremendous reality being outside. Just vivid. See, everything 3D and all set up, man. He's all set. He's all roaring to go. Something like this happens to him. You see, he confronts some of the old problems that he'd become unconscious of. Carefully, he made himself less conscious so he wouldn't be aware of this problem. He never solved that problem. He just became aware of it. He took that, like, quote, solution. See? So, back in to his head he goes when he confronts that problem again. Only this time, he now has the awareness that there was some reason. This still sticks at him. There was some reason he went into his head. He can't quite spot what it is, but there is some reason. So now you give him the business. You see, you say to him, all right, now, but you had a good reality on while you're outside. You know then that you are a spirit, that you are not a body. You know all this. You got this all. Oh, no, I am got reality on that outside. When was that? I mean, not me. Oh, I know he thought something happened, but probably just my imagination. Anything like this happened? Well, now, this is why this happens. It's the dwindling spiral of unawareness. Now, you're all of a sudden going to take this individual that you walk down in the bowels of the ship and ask him, where's the fireman? And he accommodatingly searched for 2 hours when he was it. You take this individual and say, all right, it's very nice in the crow's nest. You can see every place. Now, we're going to put you in the crow's nest. Swamp glump into the crow's nest. Crow's nests have their disadvantages. They reel. They are not warm. They are lonely. They're dark. When one falls out of them, one splashes. Nice it is down here, you know. He's saying, gee, I'd forgotten there was such a thing as the sea. Gosh, you know. And all this fresh air. Golly, no coal dust in it. Hey, what do you know? He's enjoying all this, and all of a sudden he starts to look sort of hunted, and he says, take me out of here. And you say, what's the matter? Oh, don't bother with what's the matter. Take me out of here. You get him back down the stokehold, you can come down and offer him £1,000 cash to sign on, not back in the crow's nest, but even on the deck force. And he wouldn't have anything to do with it. What happened? Well, actually, he didn't become aware enough of what happened for him to really be aware of what happened. He came to an area of something he didn't understand. And this was alarming to him. And he saw that his position was insecure. And he was very unsafe. And that he compared it to how safe he had been, if uncomfortable, down there in the bowels of the ship. So his vote is in, with a great big X on the ballot box for in front of furnace door, coal dust everywhere. I at least knew by experience that I survived there. And I know that it's impossible to survive in a crow's nest. This is his total rationale. In other words, you put him into a higher level of awareness. There is no deeper subconscious for the individual to go in. You put him in this higher level of awareness, one of the things he becomes aware of is the problems he has not handled. So this alone makes it necessary for the forward progress of the individual to be by gradients. And you can make it as long as you give him a chance to sit down occasionally and by the new view. In the first place, he's a victim of charge. Self-created, tremendously restimulated or quiescent masses of charge. He is not aware of these things, really, at all. But the second he becomes more aware, he starts to get aware of them. He doesn't really want anything to do with them, so he ducks out on them again. You do nothing about these things. You do nothing about this charged-up atmosphere. You do nothing to take, quote, just take charge off. What am I talking about? I'm talking about you process this guy without tone-arm action. Take charge off, get tone-arm action on this individual. As he is getting tone-arm action, he gets about so much tone-arm action, he moved up to a new level of awareness. Having moved up to this level of awareness, he's able to look around and he is perfectly comfortable where he is. Actually, the preclear who is progressing just looks a little better and a little better and a little better. It's not a spectacular activity. Now you've got him up to a point of where you can take more charge off per unit of time. And the charge is more fundamental. That's why you have levels. Now actually, the charge which you can take off at one fell swoop at level 4 and practically kill somebody if you tried to do anything about it at level 0. Now, as they move up the line, their problems are apparently greater. Well, their problems aren't greater. They can see better. Actually, their problems are less, and they are more capable of handling them. And so it stays in better balance. They're more satisfied, but they can handle more breadth of problem than they could before. As they go up, they can handle more problem. The problem is less upsetting to them. As they go down, they can handle less problem, and these problems are more upsetting to them. That's the awareness of the problem as you go up and down. Now, the complex individual who requires the complex solution is the guy at level 0. There is the boy who has to have the complex solutions. His problems are terribly complex, and his solutions have to be numerous. And the potentials of the problem are dangerous in the extreme to him. And therefore, the solution that is handed to him must be relatively complex. Now, how do we get around all this? Just let me give you this in a very, very rapid rundown here. How do we get around this? You know that solving somebody's problems doesn't do anything for them because the new solution becomes a new malady. The old solution is all here now. They're cure for cure. Cures, cure, cures. It's a gradient scale of curing somebody's old cures. I can tell you what fellow has been a man of warsman or something like this by his reaction to rum. This was about the only cure he had. It was a cure for fear, and it was a cure for this, cure for that, cure for being wet. Never had any dry clothes, they just gave him a drink of rum. Rum now turns on chills, gives him a cold, and makes him terrified. Why? It restimulates rising to the zone of these problems, which it cured. Now you have to put him through a course of treatment to cure him of rum. Now, what gets us away from this? It's just this. We are not giving people solutions. What is the only thing that divorces us from this in processing? How is it that we can get around this at all? Well, it's elementary how we get around it. The basic error is the most fundamental part of the problem that can be as-is. The basic error that you want to as-is is a fundamental part of the problem because of this chain of solutions. You, as an auditor, are attacking it at a problems level. You are not giving the PC new solutions for his livingness. You are taking out of existence old solutions which now exist in the form of problems. In other words, you're as-ising past solvents. You're as-ising what has been solved in the past. You're taking him in the same direction up. You're backtracking the same track he came down. You're not giving him a new solution to the condition he is in. But you're taking out of his think the old solution which made him drop down and become more unaware. You're taking this out of his perimeter of existence. In other words, you're not attacking the problem by giving the PC new solutions. You're attacking the problem by as-ising old problems. That they, in their turn, were solutions is beside the point. From an auditor's point of view, just for simplicity, simply attack the problems the fellows had. Well, you run this gorgeously in what? 1C, 1CM, R1CM, so on, problem solution. What problems had, was he done about these problems, what considerations he had about these problems, any such action as this, and particularly how has he solved these problems, what solutions has he had to these things. And you start backing the guy up, and you're actually backing through yesterday's problems. When you start running solutions on somebody, you're running yesterday's problems. See, if you run it as a problem, you are running it below its point of awareness, and it won't as is. I'll let you in on a little trick there. You have been told that you must not run problems at R1C. Well, that is simply a blunt technical statement, and it's perfectly true and valid and workable. Let's ask, what the devil is the problem? You're told that you can only run solutions on this person. Ah, but what's the solution? A solution is a way you don't have to confront the problem. And a problem is something you don't want to confront. By definition, what's a problem? That's a problem. So your effort to handle it, solve it in some way. And when you solve it in the direction of becoming less aware of it or turning your back on it, when that comes in as a solution, you have now moved into less levels of awareness. So the way you, as an auditor, are backtracking this thing, you're actually looking at yesterday's solutions. And you start to ask the PD, what problems have you had? What problems have you had? What problems have you had? He's just saying, this I couldn't confront, that I couldn't confront, this other I couldn't confront. And so you don't get any meter. See, you don't get this. But you say, what solutions have you had? He's saying, this problem and this problem and this problem that I could confront. Do you see that? It's the difference between running no confront and running confront. See, today's problem was yesterday's solution. So you inevitably are running solutions, regardless of whether you call them or not. But if you call them problems, then you're saying the individual couldn't confront them. If you're saying solutions, then you're saying could confront them. You've got to backtrack the boy's solutions. Because then you're getting rid of the problems which he set up so that he couldn't confront anything. And this is how this all degenerated. So you're actually cutting in at an entirely different area. You're cutting in at the solutions the fellow had, which of course in there were problems. Therefore, processing can solve the way back up the whole track, you see? And he becomes more and more aware. He's more and more capable of confronting. So therefore, these terrifying things, you know, like going out and seeing the street, these terrifying things are less and less terrifying to him. What's the final day? He just graduates up through these various levels of awareness up to a point of where he can confront the problems that made him start getting unaware in the first place. And he finds those in turn were solutions, so there he's all set. And he moves on out to freedom. And this is the route to freedom, through becoming more aware. It's expressed on your tone arm. It's expressed on the fact that you're attacking the various solutions of the past. And this holds through even to GPMs at class 6. What were these things but very complex solutions? Extremely complex solutions. Well, must have been a hell of a problem back then. That's obvious. It must have been quite a problem back of all that. Well, a problem back of all that and so forth was only a problem because the individual wasn't confronting it. So he took an extraordinary solution way out, called a GPS. It was a pretty wild thing to do. But there's where the areas of confront go. Now he got himself so thoroughly bogged down in all the charge and mass that his chances of getting aware enough to even know what this problem was became very remote indeed. If he were suddenly to walk back and face this old problem, he'd fold up like a tent with his tent peg pulled. Crash. It's just asking, go ahead and face this old problem. You say, get rid of the GPMs. You got rid of the charge now, which were the solutions, and all of a sudden he suddenly turns around and confronts the problem that he had. He confronts that portion of it that he can confront. You start handling this, working through that, he can confront more and more of it, and then he finally laugh at himself. But that's what levels are. That's why they're there. And it just behaves on this basis, on the operating principle, that the individual, at any given time, is at his lowest level of awareness. No matter what level he's in. And you've got to walk him up into further awareness, further comprehension, understanding, for him to be able to hold his own in the environment that he's under. That's the rationale of levels and why you bring the individual back up. That's how to process an individual. That's how you keep from stampeding an individual in some particular direction. It also explains why you occasionally turn a manic on a PC. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. And 3 days later, the PC collapses. You're put in there too fast, too quick, with too much. You see, you don't need tougher processes at all. You need more adroit use of the processes you've got. And you walk an individual up this track. He might tell you he wants to become OT tomorrow, but that's a solution. What's an OT? It's a person who's totally unaware of anything in the button at the bottom. You see how that would work. So when we look into this, we see how an individual can be made better, how an individual can recover, and we see the direction we're trying to put him. We see that trying to put him there in a disorderly fashion and not knowing what we're doing would arrive at very little gain for the individual and a lot of loss of the auditor. We just realize that you're simply increasing the individual's level of awareness. You're getting off the charge which debars him from confronting the problems which he had deserted. If you look at it from that point of view, with that degree of simplicity, then it doesn't matter how complex a problem is. It doesn't matter how complex the solution is. But always remember that a problem is as complex as it presents potential solutions. And the man down there in the fire hole, you'd be surprised how many solutions it takes to keep him alive and keep him going. Man, they're just fantastic. These start to drop off as you walk the individual back up. The most complex being that you confront is the PC at his lowest level. And therefore, this requires the most complex solutions. But you bypass that as an auditor by having the key to the gates. You start getting rid of the solutions he has had, and therefore, the complexity of the solutions he is now adding on reduces, because the problem all the time is less and less complex. See, reduce the complexity of the problem by reducing yesterday's solutions. And this is how processing works, and this is what handles it, and this is the direction you steer it. If you steer it in any other direction, you will have a severe loss. But this way, if you understand it this way, then let me add one little point here now. The thing it takes to drive this home real good is to ask that little position I gave you, ask some individual for an answer to something. He won't give you the answer. Then take some charge off these considerations or solutions he's had to it, and then ask him again for that datum, and he'll give you the datum. Well, how come he could give you the datum now when he couldn't give you the datum then? He was barred from the datum before. He had retreated from the datum before. You raised his level of awareness. You got the charge off. You got him up his confront, up his awareness, and he all of a sudden could give you the datum. Nothing is more positive than this than trying to get an individual to understand an item or something like this in a GPM. You start this one, and the guy will sit there. How do dogs bring about masters, you know? I couldn't imagine that. What do dogs have to do with masters? Dogs don't have anything to do with masters. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Dogs, masters. No connection whatsoever. You say, what considerations have you had? In other words, what solutions have you had to this and what have you been doing about? And you run this for a few minutes saying, all right, would dogs bring about masters? Of course, you fool. Anybody know that?
We say, what was that all about? Well, what that was all about, very simple thing. Overcharged area, too mucked up with solutions. Guy couldn't think, he couldn't see, he couldn't be aware of that particular area. And for you to get him anywhere at all, you had to take him through the charge. So the road out is not by a spectacular open sesame or a wave the wand or something like that. You take them back out through the charge they came down to avoid. What's that charge consist? Consists of the solutions they had to other charge they couldn't avoid. They couldn't, didn't want, and became unaware of. See? So the road into this universe is successive unawarenesses. And the road out is successive awarenesses. But not just bare-breasting your chest to the whole universe. No, you have to find out why the individual didn't want to be aware at those points, and he didn't want to be aware because he solved it. Well, what's this solution? Well, that was yesterday's problem. Yesterday's solution, problem, solution, problem, solution. They're all the same line of cat. He got himself into trouble by solving himself into trouble. And when he has solved himself all the way into trouble totally, he's here, and he's the fireman down in the stokehold. Therefore, there are no lower levels of subconscious for you to explore. There are only upper levels of awareness. Thank you.